that good singing tonight. Thank God I've been justified. I can't explain it, but like the song said, thank God I believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Take your Bible tonight and go to John chapter number 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter number 6. Y'all glad you saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. John chapter number 6. I'm not going to preach very long. We'll get to the baptism. But I want to encourage somebody to get involved in what God is doing. Let me say it again. I want to encourage somebody tonight to get involved in some way, shape, or form in what God is doing. If you come to church and you see it and you're faithful to come, thank God for that. I'm glad you're here. But man, you don't know the joy of doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even something as small as the joy of seeing God answer your prayer. When you invest something, I think one of the greatest things I can invest in somebody's life is prayer. Amen. I sit here tonight and I look at Chris, man, and it's just about all I can do to keep from choking up and crying. I'm talking about every day, at least twice a day, I go to God on behalf of Chris Butler. And then little Sophia, that good report from the doctor. I fasted a day and went without food and prayed, God, please don't let that baby have cancer. And God answers that prayers. And boy, it just feels like it just increases your faith, man. It just makes it more of a joy to serve God. So I want us to look at John chapter number 6 tonight. And very, very familiar story. I'm going to read the account of the loaves and the fishes, where Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread. And I want to preach to you on this thought tonight. Little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't even have a high school education. Y'all can put that screen up if you want to. I didn't have a high school education. I thought, man, what can God do with somebody like me? I was just a country boy, didn't even speak good English, and still butcher it up pretty good. And I thought, man, God could never really use somebody like me. And I started mechanicking on the buses there at White Oak. And I couldn't preach a sermon or teach a Sunday school class, but I could turn a wrench. So I came up on Thursday nights and worked on the buses. And I was satisfied with doing that. And every Sunday those buses would roll in and I'd get a blessing because I knew that bus was able to run because I fixed it that week. And it just thrilled my heart. And I thought God could never use me beyond that capacity. So I was satisfied in doing that. Well, little by little, God began allowing me to do more and more and more and more. If you'd have told me back then I would pastor a crowd like this, I'd have told you was out of your mind. Yeah. Amen. I'd have never dreamed that. But you know what I did? I just took what little I had and I gave it to God. Yeah. I just took what little I had and I said, here, God, it's yours. It ain't much, but I can change oil and I can pull spark plugs and I can do that kind of stuff. God, here, this is my talent. This is what I have. I'm giving it to you. And I was faithful with that thing. And as I was faithful with that thing, God began to increase it. And God said, maybe you don't know what you can do. Amen.
Amen.
It wasn't long. It wasn't long. I helped out. I'm going to give you a lot of introduction. I'll run through the points real fast tonight. It wasn't long that I volunteered to help out in Vacation Bible School. You know, building birdhouses or gun racks or something. You know, I thought that's what I'd wind up doing. Well, I wound up teaching a class. 4- and 5-year-old boys. And man, it went pretty good. We colored Joseph's coat of many colors, and you know, it was just simple on their level stuff. I could handle that, amen. So after that, God began to burden my heart to teach a Sunday school class. And I went and told our Sunday school director, I said, I think God wants me to teach Sunday school. He said, well, I'll keep you in mind. 3 weeks later, I walked up on the church, on the steps of the church, and Brother Junior Bearden, he was our Sunday school director, and he was in a heated argument with the guy who taught the teenage Sunday school class. And all of a sudden, about the time I walked off, the teenage Sunday school class teacher turned around and stormed off, got in his vehicle and left. Brother Junior turned around and I was just standing there. He said, there's your class. They're waiting on you. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm talking about 4- and 5-year-olds. You know, coloring books, flannel graphs, cookies and Kool-Aid. He said, no, you said you wanted to teach. He said, I need somebody to fill that class today. I didn't have a clue what to do. I went in there, there's about 7 or 8 teenagers. I started at John chapter number 1 and talked through the book of John. By the time we got to the end of the book of John, I had 40-something teenagers in my class. Amen. Brother Randy Massey's back there. He'll tell you he is one of them. What God was doing, he was taking what little I had and multiplying it. Just like he does here in this story. I kept teaching that Sunday school class. Then our youth pastor resigned. Brother Earl asked me if I'd be the youth pastor. I became the youth pastor. During that time, the Lord, I surrendered to preach. And you know the rest of the story. Here we are. But it all started with somebody who thought they weren't worth very much. Who didn't think they had very much ability to really do anything for God. But yet, here we are. Just because at one point in time, we said, God, here, this is what I have. This is what I can do. This is what I can bring to the table. And God, if you can use that, here it is. But what that takes is surrender. We're going to read a story about a little boy giving up his lunch. But he had to surrender that lunch. He had to let go of it. And he had to give that thing to God. Now let's look at the scripture tonight. John chapter number 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now pay attention to that verse right there. Jesus already knew what was fixing to happen. He already knew what was fixing to happen. He's testing the disciples here to see if they can get on board with it. He's asking his disciples, what are we going to do? The correct answer should have been, you're the one walking on water. You tell us what to do and we'll do it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He already knew in his heart what he would do. What verse was that? 6. And Philip answered him in verse 7, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? What are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves which he had, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. The Bible said in verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now I believe that story. I don't think it's just some kind of fable. I believe Jesus took what they had and multiplied what they had and got the job done. Amen. Do you believe that? He fed 5,000 plus the women and children. We have no idea. I would say there's at least 10,000, probably 15 or more. That was back before birth control. Everybody had a ton of kids. Amen. I mean, there was a crowd of people there that day. I'm talking about bigger than this. Can you imagine coming in here with a bunch of hungry Baptists on a Sunday night and setting one happy meal down in the middle and saying, y'all eat? That's about the way this was. But when that happy meal was brought to Jesus, it was multiplied so that it was enough and more. But it had to be surrendered. It had to be let go. They had to give that thing to Jesus. Why? Because little is much when God is in it. I want to go down through here and look at a couple of things through this passage of Scripture. I want you to look at verse number 5, and I want you to see the problem. The problem when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Hey, listen, this was no little problem. We're talking about thousands of people and there's no way to feed them. Amen. The problem. I wonder how many of you came in here with a problem tonight. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. I wonder how many of you came in with a problem. It might have been a financial problem. It might have been a health problem. It may be a relationship problem. It may be a mental problem. Around here, I know that's the case. Amen. It may be, seriously now, it may be a mental problem. You may be in a state of depression. I don't know what the problem may be, but this many people come into a room this size and we gather together, I guarantee you these problems from the back wall to the front wall. I guarantee you, we all got problems.
Amen.
Amen. There was the problem. Jesus said, here's the problem. Philip, what are we going to do? Here's the problem. Listen, I want you to note, there was never a miracle in the Bible that did not start with a problem. Every miracle in the Bible started with a problem. Every miracle, everything Jesus did as he walked them 3.5 years and touched blinded eyes and healed the lame and the lepers and raised the dead. Hey, everywhere he went, he found problems. And when those problems were surrendered unto him, in every single case, he touched, he worked, and he healed. Why? Because little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. He calmed the great storm in Mark chapter number 4. We preached about the other Sunday. And he even looked at his disciples after he calmed the storm and said, how is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? Yet he calmed the storm in their life. I'm asking you tonight, is there a problem? Is there a problem? We serve a problem solver, don't we, Chris? Hallelujah. We serve a God who can handle the little things, but we serve a God who can handle those big things that overwhelm you in the midnight hour, and you think you're not going to make it through this one, but yet here we sit by his marvelous mercy and his grace. Somebody ought to shout glory right there. Thank God. We've got a God that we can bring our problems to. Verse number 7, I want you to notice the probe. Not only the problem, but the probe. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Here's what Jesus said. Go out and take a survey. Go out and see what we've got. If we got to feed this crowd, let's figure out what we've got. Isn't that just the way we do? We kind of try to figure out, we lay our bills out, then we look at the balance in our checking account, and Philip comes back and he says, it ain't good. It ain't good. I know we got a problem, but the answer we have ain't good. Isn't it funny how every time we face problems in our life, we try to come up with a solution? Well, we could do this, and we could do that, or we could do this, or we could do that. I tell you what, the best thing we could do would be just to trust the Lord. Amen. It would be just to trust the Lord. Old Philip should have said, Lord, 200 penny worth is not sufficient, but we have you. What we have is not sufficient, but we have you. Listen, what we have in our church is not sufficient, but we have him. Amen. What I have in my heart and in my life was not sufficient for Chris Butler and the cancer that he's battling. What I have in my heart wasn't enough for what Sophia, a little 2-year-old girl with a tumor, wasn't enough, but I have him. And what I could do, I could take what I had, which was very little. I could take my little faith, and I could take my little belief, and I could take my sincere trust, and I could put that in the hands of God and say, now, God, here's the problem. And we've looked at the situation. We've talked to the doctors. We've discussed the treatments. God, here it is. Now, Lord, what can you do with it? What can you do with it? What can you do with it? Take what little we got. Take what little we got and give it to him. Little is much when God is in it. The report was not encouraging, just like always. The demand outweighed the supply. If not, there'd be no need for faith, would there? But then I want you to notice in verse number 9, the prospects. Andrew said, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? What are they? The prospects were slim, but listen, if you'll study your Bible, God always starts with slim prospects.
Amen.
The people God used the most greatly in the Bible were slim prospects.
Yeah.
One of the greatest stories ever written is the story of Moses leading the children of Israel out of bondage. Now, if you were God and you were going to pick somebody to go to Egypt to lead your people out of bondage, you'd probably look for some great military mind, some great military leader. God chose Moses.
Yeah.
You got to remember, Moses is a fugitive in Egypt.
Yeah.
He's on the run. He's wanted for murder in Egypt. His face is on the post office wall down there, and God says, I want you to go. And Moses starts making all these excuses, telling God why he can't do it. I can't even talk plain, he said. And God answered every excuse with an answer. Every excuse he had. Finally, Moses gave up and said, well, I guess I will. God always starts with slim pickings. Slim pickings. Peter was just a fisherman. He was not a highly educated man. God does use highly educated people, but in most cases, he takes those that you don't expect. Amen. Let me tell you something. God can get glory out of your life. Amen. The prospects were slim. Even though the prospects are slim, just let him have them. The lad had his lunch, and they were the seeds that was to be sown. This kind of faith brings lads to God and releases limitless possibilities. Do you understand that? Limitless possibilities. I got a book at home about back in the 1800s, old preachers, man, that would preach to thousands. They couldn't even read the Bible. They'd have their wife read the Bible to them, and they'd learn to quote it. Hey, they didn't have much to offer, but they gave God what they have. Their prospects were little. Their prospects were slim. Hey, we want to send our kids on these youth trips. Get all the help they can. The devil's trying to destroy them. The world's after them. They're trying to get the drugs in them and the heroin. It's killing everybody. Hey, we got kids in elementary school taking drugs. That's serious. You say, I'm not really worried about my kid till they get to high school. You better start. You better start praying now. We got fifth and sixth graders taking methamphetamine. Amen. We want to get these kids to youth rally. It's going to cost money. And we're not a church. We're not the First Baptist Church. We're not loaded. We don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting in an account somewhere. Amen. But like Levi said, I got a dollar. Amen. I'm going to do what I can. Them little green things he had, I don't know what use they are, but I'm going to buy one. Y'all listening? I'm going to buy several. I'm going to take what I got, give it to God. What if you put a dollar and bought one of those things, and one of those kids went to youth rally and got saved? You know what that's doing? That's God taking your dollar and multiplying it into a soul that will live for eternity in heaven. What if one of our boys went up there and got under conviction and surrendered to preach the gospel? What if that boy grew up and took my place? Little is much when God is in it. If we'll just take what little we have and give that thing to God. The prospects were slim. The prospects were slim. Now I want you to notice the proposition in verse number 10. The proposition in verse number 10. Jesus said, here's his answer to what are they among so many. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Here's the proposition. This is real deep, y'all. Pay attention. Give it to me. Give it to me. Let me have it. Now, stay with me. Corey, come here and help me. Here's our problem. When God says, give it to me. Okay, God, I want you to have this. That's like people who give money to the church and put stipulations on it. I'll help you pay to build this building, but I want my name on it. Well, it got quiet. I'll pay for a pew for the new building, but I want a little gold placard on the end of it with our family's name on it. Hey, I'm not against that, but here's what it's doing. Here, God, I want you to have it, but I want to hold on to it. And God can't operate that way. He can't operate that. With nothing in your life can he operate that way. There's a lot of talented people in this world. There's a lot of talented people in this room. Did you know that the average country music star got their start in church?
Yes, sir.
I mentioned her the other day at I Will Always Love You, lady, Whitney Houston, had a voice like an angel, son. You know where she started singing? In church. Started singing in her choir at church. I believe a lady was saved. She took that talent and she said, God, I want you to have it. But she never let go of it. She's in the grave. Can you imagine how she'd sound in our choir? Son, if she was alive and got right with God, I'd have her up there. We'd change the words to I Will Always Love You. I will always love him. That's the way it be. Amen. I better sing it every week, but what a voice. But what a tragedy and what a shame, because what God had given, I want it for myself. I want it for my glory. I want it for my fame. I want it for my fortune. Hey, why don't we just give it to God and lay up treasures in heaven? Amen. Our time, our talents, our tithes, our money, little as much. That change on Sunday night, that ain't a whole lot. That ain't a whole lot. Brother Tom was telling me this morning, we've got those cores that come out of the paper tubes at the Fellowship Tract League printing ministry that prints a gospel tract. They're about this tall and about that big around. It's just a cardboard tube with a lid on each end. One end's got a slot in it. It's a bank. Our kids' Sunday school classes have been putting money in them things. Brother Tom got all that change out of there this week. He said, you know how much money I was able to send to Fellowship Tract League out of them tubes, those change tubes? I said, how much? He said, $186. Yeah. Wow. Y'all remember when Brother Bruce was here, what he said about 1 cent, one penny, would print three gospel tracts? And on the foreign field, one gospel tract is read by an average of 7 people. Little is much when God is in it. The buses rolled this morning because the change buckets were out last week. Our teachers had supplies. Our kids had snacks. Why? Because the change on Sunday night. That may seem silly to some of you. I don't know why we got to go through all that. Hey, man, you know what it does? It even teaches our children to get involved. Little Gracie was down here a while ago. Somebody had given her a $5 bill. I'm sure it was her Mimi. She dumped all her change in the bucket and had that $5 bill clenched in her fist. And Vanessa was saying, put this in the bucket, and she wasn't letting go. I said, boy, that's a woman for you right there. Amen. She already had her bag of candy for having $5, and she wasn't going to let that money go. She's probably thinking, we're going shopping. I guarantee you, how old is she? 3? 2. Oh, yeah, I guarantee you she was thinking Walmart. We're going to Walmart. I'm going to buy something frozen. Amen. Buy me an Elsa something. I guarantee you she was thinking. That's the way we are. That's the way we are. We'll take up a love offering or an offering for a special need. And if you're like me, this is what I do. This is my mind. This is my flesh. This is how I think. I look in my pocket and go, well, I've got, and I start thinking, what have I got to do this week? What do I need this money for? And the Lord said, give it to me. Give it to me. Let me make you a promise. I have never been able to outgive him. I don't give to get, I get to give. But I have never outgiven the Lord. Amen. It was about a month ago, we had a love offering on a Sunday night. A family was really hurting. I looked in my wallet, I had a $5 bill. That's all I had. $5 cash, that's all I had. And the Lord said, put that in the plate. And I've learned, just do what he said. It was $5. I put that in the plate. Brother Chris, Monday, I went to the mailbox, and there was a reimbursement check from Greystone for $25. I opened that check and I saw what that was, and the Holy Spirit said, see? Amen. You can't go wrong giving to the work of God. The proposition, Jesus said, just give it to me. Whatever it is, your talent, whatever you got. If you can turn a wrench, give it to him. Help us work on buses. If you're good at running your mouth, help our bus workers on visitation. Amen. Hey, if you're just good at cleaning, come help our ladies clean the church. If you're good with babies, keep the nursery. Whatever it is, give it to God. Amen. And say, God, here's what I have to offer. I guarantee you, everybody has something to bring. Everybody has something to bring to the table. Here's the proposition. Give it to him. And I want you to notice the program. I want you to notice how it played out. In verse number 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Do y'all understand what this has turned into? A buffet. This has turned into all you can eat. as much as they would. In other words, they got all they wanted from five loaves and two small fishes. A can of sardines and a pack of soda crackers. Might put it in our vernacular, amen?
Right.
But if you eat sardines, you ain't right. At wedding yesterday, they put them things in that boy's car. It was his uncle. I told him, I said, if I was that boy, I'd kill you. Kill you dead. Here's the program. Here's the program. Everyone obeyed. He gave to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. Notice the key to the miracle. It's obedience. It's just doing what God asks you to do. It's that simple. You reward your children for being obedient. You punish your children for being disobedient. Amen. I'm not going to put up with a brat all day long who ignores everything I ask them or tell them to do and then take them to Chuck E. Cheese that night. Are you listening? I tell our grandbabies at the house, every now and then they get to begging, they want to go to Stevie B's. And that's kind of a weak spot for me too, because I kind of like that myself. Y'all had that baked potato pizza? Man, that's good. I'm getting hungry right now. But I'll tell them, if y'all be good today, Hayden and Jonah, they bad to fight. I don't mean squabble. I mean fight. I pick them up from school and they fight in the backseat of the truck all the way to the house. I tell them, if y'all be good and don't fight, we'll go to Stevie B's. Or we'll go to Little Caesars. We'll do something. And boy, they'll try real hard. Sometimes they get to go, they get an A for effort, amen. They'll get to the point where they just can't help it. Somebody's got to hit somebody, amen. Then lastly, the proof. They were filled with 12 baskets left over. Let me just say it again. Not a real deep or complex message tonight, but little is much when God is in it. What have you to give to God? This ain't all about money.
Amen.
Have you got a little time you could give to God? Have you got a little time? Maybe you got a little time. Maybe you like Brother John. You come from a bad past of drugs and alcohol. Maybe you got a little time. God's delivered you. You come up here on Friday night and help Brother Jason.
Amen.
With these trying to get over the same thing God delivered you from. Maybe you got a little time. Just sit down with somebody. Maybe you got a little time to help with a teenager. Maybe you got a little time. I don't know. For whatever. Maybe you got some talent. Maybe you got some talent. We got several around here, or a couple around here, learning to play the violin. And of course, now to us, it's a fiddle. It's not a violin. Amen. Marianna's tells me every week what she's learning and how good she's doing. I let her get up here and play every now and then. Hey, one of these days, and y'all go, oh, that's cute. No, one of these days, it's going to be, whoa. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. God's given some talent. God gave Levi a talent to write songs and play instruments. And I'm glad he's using that for God. You know, he could probably sit down and write a country song, sell it, and make lots of money. And I'm glad he's taking what God's given him and giving it to God. Amen. And then people kill me on them awards. They get up there and want to give glory to God. God ain't getting glory. God ain't getting glory out of that stuff.
That's right.
Every one of them songs about adultery and beer. Every one of them. I just had to throw that in. Amen. Don't get up there and blame God for it. Amen. You see the problem, the probe, the prospects that were little, the proposition, the program, and the proof. I guarantee you, if you've been saved very long, you've seen this very scenario work out in your life. You've seen God take something that was insufficient or not enough and making it get the job done. You've seen God do that, but then yet we doubt Him over and over and over again. Little is much when God is in it. Let Him have it. Let Him have it. Whatever it is, whatever He's asking for, let Him have it. Let's stand our feet tonight. Brother Todd, would you come? Maybe get us just a verse of a song if you would. I'm going to give the invitation this way. What is it in your life that you could come to this altar tonight and say, God, here it is? Some of you, and I could come out and put my hand on your head. You've gave it to him before, but you've taken it back. You never truly let it go. You played tug of war with God. And God said, if it's going to be that way, you can keep it. Why don't you come give that thing to the Lord tonight? Whatever that thing may be, you just mind God. Go ahead, Brother Todd.